What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Take Command, Logan Paulson there, Craig Hoffman here, and Jada Daniels in week one against the Tampa Bay Bucks was making his first career start. He ran around in some ways like a chicken with his head cut off, trying to find plays, and he had a nice little day on the ground, but it was certainly not enough to get the win. And I think now we look back at that game, Logan, and go, wow, that was really uncharacteristic of Jaden Daniels. Obviously, he's still arguably the best scrambler in football, had the best scrambling statistics of any quarterback in football, but he's so much more calm and collected in the pocket. He sees the field so much better than week one. When you look back at that week one performance against Tampa and think about what you'd be telling Jaden if you are Cliff, if you're Tavita Pritchard, if you're on that staff, you're Brian Johnson this week, like, you just kind of chuckle at how far he's come in this rookie season?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's one thing when I was watching the first game, I'm like, this really is not... It's not transferable. It's not like Cliff's offense, and that's nobody's fault. It's Jaden Daniels' first game, and I think he had like a fine game. But like we talked about when we reviewed the Tampa Bay game, there's throws that he makes with such confidence now, right, and such dexterity now that he just didn't attempt. You know, he was just like, I don't love it. I'm going to scramble. And I get that. I understand in your first game being – and I think this is also to Jaden's credit. Like, one of the things that's made you awesome this year is how you protect the football. And he was very protective of the football that game. But I do think you see, like, you know, I had to do a breakdown for Command Center about the difference between that game and this game. And one of the things is, like, you go through Jaden's season this year and you're watching all the throws and you're like – he's made throws that he's turned down 20 times this year. Like, there's a 5-yard out, which he turns down because he doesn't like the DB position. If you watch the Philly game, he makes like three of those. And then you watch New Orleans, he makes two of them. And you're like, that's 5 yards on an easy completion to Terry, and we're doing all right, you know? And so again, like, I think he elevated big time in terms of how he scrambled, but I also think he's just matured so much as a passer. And it's not like he's throwing the ball better. He just understands NFL windows better. And like, that was something that we talked about week one. It's like, is he going to do this? And he's emphatically done it. And I think when you watch him versus like the New Orleans game, when you watch the Philly game, like, he just has so many different ways to beat you now. Like, he can run, obviously, but as a passer, the different types of throws, the different arm angles, the different layerings and touches we've seen it all this year. And so obviously he's had days where he's been off, but if he's on and if he's ready to go, like, he's become like a problem a little bit, you know, to deal with, obviously, like, because of the decision making about when to run, when to throw, when to be aggressive, and just his natural playmaking kind of intuition is something that shows up big time, and it's something that's developed. And I kind of cite the Cincinnati game as kind of the genesis of that, but you see that just continue to develop over the course of the year. So when you look at him specifically, you're kind of like, this is the most bare bones rudimentary version of you as a rookie quarterback in the NFL. And to his credit, each and every week, and we've talked about this each and every week, has just grown. And so the player now and the player then are completely different to my eye. And I really am excited to see what this looks like, because I do think Tampa Bay is going to do some interesting stuff to him, but I think he's more ready for it now.
For sure. And he's gone from a guy that's like, oh, this is at the very least going to be fun watching him run around this year, and we'll see where it goes long term, to a guy that's probably going to finish top five in MVP voting. He's fourth in the NFL in EPA. Like, he's a legitimate, you know, I kind of chuckle when you were like, he's kind of become a problem. I was like, yeah, I think he's more than kind of become a problem. Right. Like, he's become a legitimate top 10 quarterback in the NFL. as a rookie. And now, you know, we'll see long term if that holds. You know, CJ Stroud, obviously last year, you know, we can flash that up as the warning sign that just because you did it as a rookie doesn't mean that it means you've made it forever. But I think we also trust Jaden to do the work to probably make it stick.
Right.
But that's a different discussion for a different time.
You this week like, specifically, on that point, like we trust Jaden, we trust Adam, we trust the staff, you know, in a way
right.
that is really unique. 100%. But yeah, go ahead. Had to say, get that.
Yeah, no, 100%. We trust the infrastructure as well as the player, which is exactly what you want. That's why he was the guy selected where he was, and it's why he's been able to grow as much as he has. I mean, Stroud came in as I think a more developed passer than we realized coming out of Ohio State, and he just rode that, and he certainly got better. But he came in on fire. Watching Jaden evolve has been terrifically fun, and I think one of the things that he has learned is again that NFL Open, and that also there's NFL Open and there's Terry McLaurin Open. Terry is the best contested catcher in the league statistically in terms of yardage, touchdowns, the whole deal. He does more when he is not open than anyone else in football. From that week three, really on against Cincinnati, all the way through last week, where we were just talking, you know, before we got started here about some of the plays he made in the final drive for Marcus last week.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable contested catches in tight windows, taking hits, coming in fearless. And really, weeks one and two, it felt like Cliff, and to an extent, Jaden, but I think even more so, Cliff didn't quite realize what he had in Terry. And by week three, it was kind of like, hey, man, let's get 17 the ball. And he explodes against Cincinnati. Biggest play, you know, Jaden's first signature play, that touchdown down the right side to seal it. And from there, Terry's on to another 1,000-yard season and ultimately the team TD record that he seals last week against the Cowboys. And I think getting Terry way more involved is one of the ways this game is going to look the most different compared to week one, where he had, you know, two catches for 17 yards. Now, Jamel Dean's a good corner. He hasn't been playing in a couple weeks. He should be back this week. He actually covered Terry on 18 of his 23 routes in week one. He was only targeted once in those routes. But I think Jamel Dean, if you're on Terry for 78% of the time in this game, prepare for a lot more action, sir.
Yeah, I would think so. And I think you just look at think about that relationship and how it's developed. Like, I think back to, you know, the second Philly game where he's getting the explosive play over the top, the Pittsburgh game, explosive play over the top, the Cleveland game, explosive play over the top. Like, I mean, dude's a maniac this year. That relationship and what it's done for the offense has just been so prolific, and their ability to kind of make these big moments, like Terry on a slant on third and short. Like, and I think, to your point, Cliff's understanding that is a big time player in this offense. Let's start moving around, and then you see his production continue to develop. And I forget which game it was, but he had like eight catches for like 80 yards, you know, and it wasn't like this big explosive play, but he's able to kind of just first down here, hitch here, contested catch there. And like, he can do it both ways, which I think is great. And so I do think that relationship, I think the emergence of guys like OZ, the guys like Jamison Crowder, like kind of to supplement Terry, are also big. And again, like we've talked about, you know, they have their strengths and Terry has his strengths. But I think the other thing, you know, we talked about trusting Adam and Dan and Jaden. Like, I trust Cliff because he just understands, like, versus certain coverage, versus certain matchups, like, this is where we want to work with the football. And I don't know if that's Tavita, Cliff, probably a combination of everybody working together to be like, hey, like, look at, like, this is what the coverage is supposed to do. This is the matchup we like, this is who we're going to put there. Let's make it go. And I just think you just see not only a maturation from Jaden, but a maturation just from the offense in terms of finding what guys do well and helping maximize them. So I think this is going to be, again, the Terry thing is huge because I think, like, look at, we talk about this all the time. Like, the number one driver, one of the many drivers of offensive success is explosive plays. And Terry's been an explosive play machine for this offense kind of down the stretch. So I think that's going to be a huge deal. I think, again, Jaden's development, the emergence of some of these playmakers, Zach Ertz, I felt like there was a couple times in the first game where Zach was open. There was opportunities for him on routes and Jaden's turned that down. So I just think there's so much more here for the offense based on that first matchup. Like, you're just like, man, if you just hit the stuff that's there as opposed to run around. And again, the scrambles were super efficient and super effective, but like, it's going to be so much more dynamic. And I'm kind of curious to see what Tampa Bay does to counter the new commanders, if you will. Like, what are you going to do? How are you going to play this? And I think that's going to be a really compelling story.
Well, the Buccaneers are on some level a different team as well, although the week one version of them has resembled the weeks 11 through 18 version of them more than almost any other game in their first pre-bye stint. So after their bye in week 11, the Buccaneers became the blitz happiest team in the NFL, blitzing on 48%. Yeah, 48, almost one out of every two pass attempts, which is just a crazy number. That said, they blitzed Jaden 47% in week one. So that's kind of how they played in week one. I'm sure that you'd have to go into detail, and this would be the time if they're doing it the same way that they, you know, the blitz packages that they deployed in week one. Is that what they're doing now? And by the way, it's not just that they're doing it, and it's kind of, you know, I think of like Wink Martindale, where it's like, yeah, he was blitzing all the time with the Giants, but it wasn't really working that much. Like, yeah, you'd have weeks where it was, you know, you have eight sacks, but a lot of times you're just giving up 400 yards because your guys are exposed on the back end all the time. No. The Bucs, they lead the league in unblocked pressures. They are converting them into sacks at a pretty high rate. Like, they are doing the damn thing when it comes to their pressure package. So, led by Yaya Diaby, what are you seeing from this Buccaneers pressure package that is similar to what we saw against Washington in week one? And maybe what are some other things that Joe and Bobby Johnson and the offensive line crew are going to have to deal with this week?
Yeah, I think that's the thing to me. It's just like, I went back and watched all their pressures, which is a lot, because like you said, they blitz a lot. And
yeah, so you watched half their defensive snaps.
Yeah, you're just like, God. And I think the crazy thing is, like, obviously they bring like run blitzes on first down, which are problematic. But I think the third down stuff is where you're like, yikes, this is a lot. You know, like they just have, you know, like they have, like, for example, I think I maybe talked about this already, but they have like the six guys up on the line of scrimmage, you know, kind of in their blitz package. Like, we run, the Commanders run something similar. There's two guys standing up. There's four defensive linemen. Just in that front, I could probably cite probably 6 to 8 variations of pressure patterns that they brought just out of that one front. So it's not like like, there's something, like, when you're in a blitz meeting, for example, and it's usually on Thursday, like back when I was playing, and they'd be like, this is our third down blitz meeting. Let's go through the pressures. See where this guy lines up. See how he's kind of outside this player here. Like, they're going to bring this pattern. And you just kind of go through and you're like, okay, like, they're all here. With this, like, I kind of went through it and was like, is there a tell? And I know the coaches are going to be locked in. They're going to find a tell. But because there's so much variation off the same look, kind of like, the offense with Liam Cohen, how they have kind of the same stuff off the same formation, same personnel. It's the same thing with the defense here. And you're like, what are the tells? So I would just say, like, Johnson, the offensive line coach, has got to earn his paycheck this week in terms of finding consistent tells to help make sure you get those pressure packages targeted correctly, because it's going to be tough, man. If you're in third and long a lot in this game, it's going to be really, really tough to kind of manage those pressure packages. And the other thing I wanted to point out too is, in the first matchup, I felt like Tampa Bay was kind of figuring itself out. Like, Yaya Diaby, who I think has had a really good year, is like taking inside moves on Wiley all the time and losing contain in the pocket. And Jaden just kind of steps around it, and then there's no contained player and scrambles up the field. So I would think, if I'm the defensive coordinator, if I'm Bowles for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'm like, guys, we're going to bring our pressure. We're going to do what we do. We have to be consistent with our rush lanes. When you look at the teams that have been most effective versus Jaden Daniels, Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles in the first matchup, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they were dogmatic about their rush lanes and their rush lane consistency. We will get free runners. We will get free runners like Dallas did, because I trust my blitz scheme, but you guys have to keep them in the pocket. If they do both of those things, Jaden Daniels is going to – they're not going to let him win with his legs. If they can corral him the way we're talking about, because they have guys that rush in a way that's problematic for Jaden. Yaya Diaby is kind of a power rusher. Baldwin, the other guy, the other outside linebacker, Anthony Nelson, excuse me, I'm thinking of a different player. But they compress the pocket as rushers. Vita Vea compresses the pocket as a rusher. And then when you add that compression element to free runners off the blitz – it becomes hard. That's where Jaden Daniels struggles a little bit. So what's the answer from a protection standpoint? What are the answers from a route standpoint? And then Jaden Daniels, can you elevate us the way you've done all year? I think is going to be a big question on third down specifically.
So Diaby this year, 57 pressures, 13 run stuffs. That is just one of eight edge players to record 50-plus pressures, 10-plus run stuffs. The others,
he's a beast.
Yeah, Miles Garrett, Jared Verse, Jonathan Grenard, Brian Burns, Greg Rousseau, Will Anderson, Max Crosby. So he is in pretty good company in terms of guys that really starred on the edge. Some of them, guys like Garrett and Crosby, obviously longtime standouts, and plenty of others. You know, Will Anderson, one of the best young guys in the league. Rousseau was a monster this year for Buffalo. So really good company that Yaya Diaby is in.